We begin the current daf, so this Gittin daf pei. We begin 6 lines down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the middle of the Mishnah that we left off in the previous daf. That is, the Mishnah opened up regarding a halacha, talking about if someone wrote a pasul get for his wife. Maybe it wasn't so obvious, but the case that the Mishnah opened up with was regarding if he wrote according to the wrong government, meaning you dated according to the government that you're in, but instead the scribe ended up writing for a different government. So regarding that halacha, the Mishnah said it's a pasul get, and therefore, although maybe she married someone under the assumption that she already had a get, she should have checked, she didn't. So she's actually forbidden from both husbands, and as we mentioned, there's many different rabbinic penalties that apply. She can't get all her wifely gifts she usually gets from them, the husbands can't get anything from her, she's considered forbidden to both of them, and all the drachim that we spoke about regarding such halacha. Now, on that, our Mishnah continues with a related theme regarding a woman that thought she was permitted to marry out, because she thought that she was free from when her husband dies without any children from the halachas of Yid Mechalitza. Rather, as it turns out, it was an error, similar to the previous case where it was an error maybe on her part, but she should have checked and made sure that she was allowed to move ahead with her life and marrying another person. And because of that mistake, it's going to cost her the same type of penalties we mentioned in the previous part of the Mishnah regarding being forbidden from both men and so forth, all the things that usually are appropriate for a regular wife. So the Mishnah continues, Kol Arayis Sha'amru, regarding all the Arayis that we spoke about, and this is in the beginning of Masechet Yevamos that opens up with the halacha that there are Chamesh Esri Arayis, there are 15 women that are considered an erva to the Yavam, which is if, let's say, for example, if someone's daughter is married to his brother, and then his brother dies without any children, so his daughter is going to fall for even for him, she's an erva, she's exempt from Yid Mechalitza, there's no halacha of doing Yid Mechalitza to his daughter. So too, Tzarisehen Mutaris. So generally we say that the co-wife that's also married to this guy's brother, who would be allowed to have Yid Mechalitza, but since she's a co-wife of his daughter, as the Gemara learns in Masechet Yevamos, that she's also going to be exempt from Yid Mechalitza. So that's generally what happens. But let's say it was such a situation where this guy's brother died without any children. One of his wives was an erva to him, one of those 15 women. Therefore, not only does his daughter not have Yid Mechalitza, but also all the other co-wives, they go ahead and marry whoever they want to. But Holchu Hatzaras Elu, so what they did was, so these co-wives of the erva, they went. V'nisu, and they got married to other people, what's called Lashuk, because they're allowed to. But V'nimtzu Elu, but then it ends up being found out that these, meaning the Arayas, whoever she is that was to this Yavman erva, was actually an islandess, who is actually a woman that can't have children. Which ended up retroactively revealing that the marriage that she had to this guy's brother, to the one who died, was actually in error. She was never really married to him, because if it's called a mekachtayis, it's never really a marriage that was legitimate if she was an islandess. Turns out that the co-wives were never really tzareis ha-erva, and therefore meaning the erva, who was, let's say, this guy's daughter, was never really their co-wives to exempt them from Yid Mechalitza. So essentially what ends up happening now is that once we find that she's an islandess, this woman who ended up marrying someone else was not allowed to. She was a Yavam Lashuk, she was supposed to go ahead and have at least Yibam or Chalitza from her late husband's brother. So the halacha is, again, it's an error, but something, as we'll explain in the Gemara, that she should have thought about, she should have verified to make sure that everything was done. So Teitzei Mizeh, so she has to leave from this new husband that she married to, Umizeh, and she also has to remove herself. She can't go ahead and now do Yibum from the Yavam, who really she did have a Zika to. There really was some form of a marriage, which was an extension of the marriage she had to her late husband, where she really was still married to on some level, meaning because there was still a Yim Chalitza, because she wasn't exempt from the halacha of a Tzara's Erva, because she really wasn't the Tzara of an Erva, because the Erva actually was never married to her late husband. And again, all these halachas that we mentioned in the first part of the Mishnah, which is a similar parallel in the fact of that a woman thought she was divorced from her husband. Turns out, an error she should have checked into to make sure that it was an appropriate written get, and it wasn't, she thought it was, so she married another man, she should have been into both husbands, and again, she loses her ksuba, her peiris, her mezainis, her belois, all those things. Now Rashi just points out that in Masechet Yevamos Daf Tali Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara explains that the Tana of our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Kiva, who he holds that there is a mamzer, it's such an inappropriate marriage, even when it's chiyu v'lavin, when it's just a negative prohibition, because really it's not the same exact as the first case of the Mishnah. First case of the Mishnah was she was a full-fledged eshes ish, it wasn't a valid get, which is a regular saita. Here, all she is, that when her husband dies, even if there's a zika to the Yavam, which turns out retroactively that's what she had, there's only a negative prohibition of not allowing a Shemeris Yavam to marry some other man. So that's not as strong. Maybe there we wouldn't say that she would be forbidden to both and all the different halachas. So the Gemara Yevamos points out that it is as strong, because although generally, let's say we hold the mamzer according to other opinions, it's only from Chiva Krisa, Chiva Mis Bezdin, according to Rabbi Kiba, it's even from Chiva Lavin, so it's such a severe, like an Ashes Ish type of a prohibition that she's violating, and hence you'll have all those halachas. And like we said in the Mishnah, Vlad Mamzer Mizemzeh, the child will be a mamzer, because again, although it's just a Chiva Lavin to marry that other man, a Chiva Mamzer, there's only a Chiva Lav to marry that other man, that will create, according to Rabbi Kiba, who our Mishnah is going like, a child that is a mamzer. A similar type of a case as the one we just described, which the Gemara will point out why do we need this case too, was Hakoinis Ezivimte. If the brother, the Yavam, the brother of the late man who died, does Yibum to one of the women, let's say the one who died had five wives, and he died without any children. So once he did Yibum with one of the wives, the halach is, v'holcha tzarasa v'nisla achar, so the co-wife went and married someone else, because that's the halacha, that the bia of one of the wives exempts all the co-wives to go ahead and marry someone else. But then v'nimtzezu, but when it was then found out later on that the woman that the Yavam had done Yibum with, shahaisa islandess, that she was actually an islandess, and therefore there was no halacha of Yibum that applies to that woman, because she was really never the wife of the one who died, because it turns out she was really an islandess, and therefore she was never really married to him. So it turns out that the Yibum that this brother, the Yavam, did with this woman never exempted the co-wife, because she wasn't really one of the wives, retroactively. Now, it turns out that this other wife, the Tzara, who had the assumption that she could, was actually marrying Lashuk, marrying some other men, without ever having had Chalitza done to any one of the wives. So the halacha is, again, Teitzei Mizeh, so she has to leave her new husband, Umizeh, and neither could she, and she also has to leave from the first Yavam, the one who she had a zika to, where she was on some level connected to, she has to leave that too. And again, all the different ways that we said, all the penalties apply from her to them and from them to her. Now, also the same type of a concept, where you're going to have the same consequences. The Mishnah says, Kasav Sefer Get La'ish. If a scribe wrote a get for a man, why to the man, so that he can have a get to divorce his wife with it, the Shaver La'ish, and he wrote a receipt for a woman, meaning for this guy's wife, that she should give to the husband, when he then subsequently pays her haksuba, she'll have a receipt to give him, because he's going to say, I'm not paying you unless you give me a receipt. So he wrote for each one something that they could have to give to the other one. Now, but the scribe made a mistake when he gave them the documents. The nosen get le'isha, by mistake, the get that he needed to give to the man to give to the woman, he actually gave that to the woman. The shayva le'isha, and he gave the receipt to the man. Now, the nosen zel azeh. Now, each one gave what they had in their hand to the other one, because they assumed they had what they had to give to the other one. So now the woman went and got married to someone else, thinking that what she received from the husband was to get what her husband gave her, and the husband thought that what he got from the woman was the receipt. Now, ola'achas man, at a later point in time, ha'rei ha'get yoytzi mitat miyada ish, it's then revealed that actually it's the husband that's holding on to the get, because he came to Beis Din to prove, let's say, that he had a receipt that he paid the ksuba. And turns out they're looking at the thing to see, oh, let's see, you have a receipt. What is it? It's not a receipt. This is the get. V'shoyv miyada isha, and the woman's holding on to the receipt. Says the Mishnah, the same type of halacha, teitzei mizeh mizeh, which, again, the same concept as we said in the first case of the Mishnah. She was never really divorced from her husband. Her husband never gave her a get. He gave her a shaver, and she gave him a get. So she was never really divorced from him. So again, she's like a saita, a woman that was an ish assistant, was mezan with another man. She has to leave both the boil and the baal. V'chal adrach me'iloba, and again, all those different penalties that apply to a woman when she's mezana applies, although this woman made a mistake. Again, as we mentioned in the previous stop, she should have checked. She didn't. It's her fault. And therefore, all the penalties apply. Now, Rabbi Elazar Omer, he argues in the specifics of this halacha. He says, im la'altar yatza, if this is happens right after the divorce, which the Gemara will explain two different opinions, what does it mean immediately, then you write ein zeh get. Then we'll say, if it's not a get, you exchange the wrong things. But im la'achar zman yatza, if this happens at a later point in time, where let's say a year later, it's revealed that she's holding on to the shaver and to the get, and he's holding on to the shaver, she's holding on to the shaver and he's holding on to the get, which means they exchange the wrong things, actually, hareza get. Says Rabbi Elazar, we will consider as if she received a get and she's divorced. And the reason is, loy kol emenu min arishin. It's not that we should just carte blanche, just point blank, accept and believe whatever it is that the first husband's saying, to say that, look, she was never divorced from me, and therefore what she was married to the second guy was never a marriage and she can't stay married to him, because that would be la'abit chusel shosheni. That would ruin the merits of the second husband that she married to. Because as Rashi says, at least according to one interpretation, it's going to be a kanunya. It's going to be a trick that the first husband's going to do with his ex-wife, which is really, she doesn't want to be married to the second man anymore, but she can't force herself to get divorced. It's up to his volition. So what she does with her first husband is, they swap their documents. Let's make believe we were never divorced. That will make me leave him. Look, I don't want to be married to you, but I don't want to be married to him either. So let's swap, and then I'll be done with him, and you'll help me out that way. So that's what Rabbi Elazar is saying, that no. If it happens right away, so we see what happens, and then, yeah, of course, it's not a get. But at a later point in time, we don't believe you to say that, oh, you had all along never given her the get because you were the one holding the get. No, we don't believe you. Maybe you swapped it, and therefore, we will consider her that she was divorced and that she's married happily. She could stay married to that second husband. Now, first, the Gemara goes back to the beginning of the Mishnah, which recorded in the previous daf on 9 Tesma Beis, and we said that the first halacha, which quoted this whole halacha that we had different corollaries of this consequential halacha of that, look, the woman made a mistake, but it's her fault, and she really was never divorced, so she's got to believe both men, and so forth and so on. So the first halacha was, if let's say it was written not for the malchus, for the government that you're living in at that place, so that's an inappropriate get, it's not a get, and all that halacha. So one of the terminologies used was if the scribe wrote it for a malchus she'ena hoygenes. So the Gemara asks, my malchus she'ena hoygenes, what is this referring to when you're saying an inappropriate government, meaning that's not where you live, rather you're writing it for the government that's eino hoygenes, what is that a reference to? So on that the Gemara says, malchus ha'ramayim, it's a reference to the Roman government. For my karl malchus she'ena hoygenes, why is it called malchus she'ena hoygenes? Mishum de'ein lem loy ksav loy lashon. The reason being is because they don't have their own script, and they don't have their own language. Rather, as Rashi tells us, they actually stole it from a different government. And because of that, they're called eino hoygenes. They're like a substandard. But even so, that's going to be considered that you're not writing for this government, which is not an appropriate get, and therefore, that's as if you were never divorced. Now, explaining this halacha, Umu Ula, he says, Memneima tekinu malchus begin. Why did they say that this halacha, which we said if you don't fulfill it, then it's like you didn't write a get in the first place. Why did they say you have to write the dating according to the government that you're living in at that point? Why did you write it, let's say, from the time of creation? So that, Ula says, Mishum shalom malchus, because we want peace with the government. In other words, that they should say, oh, the Jews do consider us significant. They write the documents according to our reign when it began, so that'll create a foster harmony and peace with the government. That's why we write it. Now that the Gemara asks, Mishum shalom malchus, because of something that was only made up so that there should be peaceful relation with the government, Teitze v'havlad mamzer, that should make that if she gets married with this get, which seemingly it's a kosher get. You wrote it lishma, you wrote his name, her name, you did everything you had to do. It's just that the dating wasn't written according to the government you're in. That will make the consequences that if she marries another man, she has to leave that marriage, and the child's a mamzer, illegitimate child. But why? Why did they make it not a get? It's a get. It's just you didn't have this rabbinic reasoning, this rationale of having the government state. So the Gemara says, in, yes, it actually will make it to the extent that it's a possible get, and the child will become a mamzer. Because Remeir L'tamei, this Tam Mishnah, this anonymous Tan of the Mishnah, is going like Remeir, where actually, as the Gemara later explains, that this is, we quote somewhere else, that this is the opinion of Remeir. Because the Amr, the Remeir is going according to his opinion mentioned elsewhere. Because the Amr of Amnun the Mishmei Du'uloi says, Oyma Hayir Remeir would say, Kala Mishana Mimatbeya Shutavu Chacham Begitin, whoever deviates from the precise, exact terminology that the sages instituted for the halachas of Gittin, Havlad Mamzer, the child is a Mamzer. The Chacham made exactly as it should be. You do it exactly, then it's a get. If you don't do it, it's not a get. And therefore, here where you change one iota of the get, even though, yes, it was made just for Shalom Malchus, but you didn't do exactly as the Chacham said for a get, and therefore it's not a get. And therefore, the woman will have to leave, and the Vlad will be a Mamzer. Now, one of the other cases the Mishnah mentioned was L'shum Malchus Yavin. Again, you didn't write it for the government that you're in. Rather, you wrote it for the Greek government. It's going to be possible. So the Gemara wonders, why the necessity of all these different cases? Just, we know, you have to write it for the government that it's in. Why say Malchus Shein Oigenes, Malchus Yavin, and so on? So the Gemara says the Tzricha, we had to say it. Diashmina Malchus Shein Argenis, had we only said regarding the Roman government, although yet it's a chiddush there too, because even though it's substandard, because they don't have their own ksav and their own lashon. But we would have thought to say that over there it's going to be possible, Mishum de Malicha, because it's at this time when the person's writing the get, let's say in Bavel, where the government there in Bavel are the Persians, at the same time the Roman government was still extant, and therefore the government that you're in is going to be jealous and they're going to be upset. Why are you writing according to their government? So that's going to interfere with what we call Shalom Malchus, which again will be Mishanim Ema Be'eshet Avachacham, because that's going to interfere with the Shalom Malchus. Avol Malchus, Modei Malchus Yavim, but let's say we would have thought, had the person written for the Median government or the Greek government, that my dehava hava, what was. In other words, their kingdom has already been going into the abyss of history, where they're not around anymore. And therefore, the government would not be jealous. That's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us, that even if you wrote it for Malchus, Modei, and Yavin, it would still be considered as something that would interfere. Why are you writing it for their government? Which is Rashi says, what does it mean, Mada Yavin, if it's Toma that they already passed? What do you mean if the scribe is counting the years from when the media government started, which was in the days of Daryavish, or for the years of when the Greek government had started? So that's the chiddush, that even so, even though they're not around them or their power has already gone already, still that's going to interfere with Shalom Malchus. Now, V'yesh Mina Malchus, Mada Malchus Yavin, had we only said that case, Mishum de Malkava Sahava, because at least there is an element of Malchus there, of kingdom. So therefore we would be concerned that the king would of the government that you're in would be particularly, even though that was already something in the history. But regarding the next case of the Mishnah, which spoke about if you're dating the document of the get from the time when the Beis HaMikdash was built, they would say what was. The Beis HaMikdash is not around anymore, and it's not even another government. So that's why I had to say that no, even over there would be a problem. And V'yash Min and Bin Yabai, had we only said that case of when the Beis HaMikdash was built, there we would say maybe that's a problem. The Amri Kamat Kri Shef Chai, because there we would say that the government is going to say, oh, the Jews are trying to remember when they were in control, when they had their temple. That's going to cause the jealousy and the irate of the government. Of a Chorban Abayis, but the next case in the Mishnah, to date the get from when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Tzaruhu, that's the Jewish people's pain and sorrow, Eim Aloi, there maybe we would say that the government they're in would not be makbid about that. So therefore, Tzricha, that's where you have to say all the different cases to say that, no, it's a problem if you don't write the date of the government that you're in, and therefore, no matter what the case, even though you would think maybe there would not be, that there would be makbid, it's a problem, and therefore, it's not going to be a valid get. And again, all the consequences of what happened then, because she's not really divorced, if she goes ahead and marries another man. Now, then the Mishnah said, the next case was, that if he's in the east and they're right in the west, it's going to be possible. So the Gemara asked, man, who was in the east, but instead was written that he's in the west, that made the get puzzle. And that is Ilema Baal, if it's a reference to the husband, that the husband was really in the east, and the scribe wrote that he was in the west, well, Hainu Shina Shma Yushma, Shem Ir V'Shem Ira, that was already included in the other case the Mishnah mentioned, which is if the scribe deviates from writing the appropriate, his name or her name, or his city and her city, so the city of his was already mentioned. What's this other case of when he's in the east and they wrote in the west, that's going to invalidate the get? Say Allah, rather, the Gemara says it must be, it's a reference to the sefer, to the scribe. Meaning if the scribe was in the east and he wrote that he's writing it in the west, that's going to invalidate the get. Could the amalu Rav Lasafri, like Rav told to his scribes, Chen amalu Rav Huna Lasafri, so to Rav Huna, his student said to his scribe, Ki asvisu bishile, if you're sitting in Shile, so kusul bishile, then write that you're writing in Shile, v'avagav de mimsun l'chu mili bihini, that even if you were given over these instructions when you were in Hine, so to the chiasvisa bihine, if you're sitting in Hine, the name of a place, to write the document, so ksuvu, so write inside the document that you're writing it bihine, that's where you're writing it. V'avagav de mimsun l'chu mili bishile, even though the words were given over to you, the instructions were given over to you in a different place, but wherever you're writing, that's where you should write it. So again, if the scribe is writing it in east, and he writes that he's writing in the west, that again will also be invalidation in the get and causing all those consequences. Now, the Gemara goes back to clarify and to qualify the halacha of our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he says, as we continue to Amud Beis, Zu Divrei Meir, this that we mentioned in the Mishnah, that the get is going to become possible if you don't write the dating of the government that you're in because of the element of Shalom Malchus, of having good relations with the government, That's the opinion of Remeya. Again, as we mentioned before, it's Remeya Lishutasai because of Yemeshanim Memabeya Shatava Chacham. But the sages say, Afil like cost of El Lishim Santer Shabi'ir, even if you only write that you're not writing according to the government that you're in, to the country, to the nationality, but rather you just write for the name of the Santer in the city, which the Gemara Bababasa Samachesim and Alf explains, it's a reference that he's the elder, the town elder, who he knows where the boundaries of every person's field is. So even say the Chacham, even if you write not for the government, but just for the town elder, how long he's been in power for, HaRezim Megareshes, that's going to be a valid Gerushin. It doesn't have to be the Malchus of the government that you're in. That's how the Gemara says it from Shmuel. Now, the Gemara brings the following incident related to this halacha. Hahu gita davik sivbe l'shem istandora de vashkar. Not to be confused with the word santer, this is istandora. There is a get that was written, dated not for the government that you're in, let's say the Persians or the Romans or the Greek, rather it was written for the government of this village of Bashkar. Who he was a servant, he was one of the underlies of the melech, of the king of the government, but he didn't write it for the reign of the king, for the government, but rather of the town, of the place's governor. So Shlacha Rav Nachman Bar Avchizel Kameh de Rabba. So Rav Nachman Bar Avchizel sent the question to Rabba, and asked him, Kia Gavnamai, what would be the halacha in this case? So Shalachle, so Rabba responded, and he sent back, he says, Baha Afil Remei Remaydi. In this case, even Remei would agree that it's going to be kosher. My time, what's the reason? Because Ma'isa Malchasu, it's from that government, because the governor is from the reign, he's an appointee of the king. Now, so on that, Rabba addresses Umayshno Misanter Shabir. So why is it different than the town elder who we said before from Shmuel that Remeu does disagree and he holds that it's going to be possible, only Rabban hold is going to be kosher. So why is a governor, let's say, different than the town elder? So on that he explains, because Hasam Zilaluhu Milsa. By the town elder, it's degrading for the government, for the king, to be dating the year of the document based on the town elder, because you're right. He's also some ruling person from the government, but there's no lower position than the town elder. And it's embarrassing for the king to mention him when you're dating it according to this government, and you're leaving all the higher senators and governors and kings, leaving that out. So that's degrading, so that will interfere, according to a mayor, for Shalom Malchus, and therefore it's going to be possible. But hacha shvichelu milsa. Here, it is a praise for the government, because it's an important office, that of the governor of that state, and therefore, that will be appropriate, even according to a mayor, not to interfere with Shalom Malchus. It would be a shvach for the Malchus, even though it's not for the king, but for the reign of this governor, and therefore, even according to a mayor, Rabbi said, it's going to be valid. Now, the Gemara brings a different interpretation and qualification of this halacha of our Mishnah, which Tosfos discusses if this opinion of Rav is arguing on the opinion of Shmuel, or you could even say that he doesn't disagree. It just, Shmuel is discussing a case of when you mention somebody, but you mention a lower position, whereas Rav talks about if you don't mention it at all. So Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, he says, and this is again going on the same halacha of the Mishnah regarding dating it according to the reign of that government, because of Shalom Malchus. So he says, this halach of saying that it's going to be get pasul, zu divrei Remeir, this is the opinion of Remeir. But the sages say, havlad kosher. Again, where you didn't even mention anything, the child's going to be kosher, it's going to be a valid get. And again, because as we said, this is really just a rabbinic reasoning of Shalom Malchus, which according to Remeir, it's going to be possible because Mabeir Shetav Chacham. But the Chacham hold that's not integral for the get itself, and therefore if you didn't write the date of the government, then it's going to be kosher, and the vlad's going to be kosher. Now, however, says Rav, u'moidim chacham l'remeir, but the sages agreed to Remeir regarding the other halachas we mentioned in the Mishnah. Shemshina shmayu shma. Let's say they change, they don't write his appropriate name and her appropriate name. Or shem ira b'shem ira. Or they don't write his city or her city. There they agree, shavlad mamzer. There it's a problem with the get itself. There, if you marry with such a get, the child will be a legitimate child. They just disagree regarding the halacha of not dating it according to the reign of that government. Now, Amar Rav Ashi says, Afanan namatanina. We similarly learned the way Rav qualifies this opinion of the Rabbanan in the halacha of our Mishnah. Because the Mishnah said as follows. It said, Shina Shma Yushma. If they change his name or her name, or Shem Ira v'Shem Ira, or his city or her city, Tetsi Mizeh Mizeh, so then it's not a valid get, and if she married someone else, she has to leave both men. And all the penalties we mentioned in the Mishnah apply to this woman and these men to her. Now, on that says Rav Ashi, Haman Ketanila, who's learning this case, this clause of the Mishnah? And that is, Elamer Meir, if you would assume it's going on back on who was saying the Mishnah up until now, who the stamma of the Mishnah was Remeir. So Learvinu Belisninu, then why isn't it mixed together and said together with the previous case of when you change the name of the government? Which essentially that's the same psul. If you hold like Remeir, then there's no difference if you change the name of the government or you change his name and her name or the name of the cities. So say it in one long case. Why is it mentioned separately the case of changing the name of the government? And then a whole different case says when you change his name and her city and his city, which those are mentioned together, if it's going like Remeir, why aren't they mentioned all together? Ella, rather, proves Rav Ashi, Shema Mino Rabbanan. Must be that part of the Mishnah is going like the Rabbanan, Shema Mino, that because they disagree with Remeir regarding the changing of the name of the government, there they hold it's going to be kosher, but they do agree, like Rav said, by changing his name and her city and his city, that it is going to be possible. That's what they mentioned separately, because that's only Reb Meir, but the next case is going even according to the Rabbanim. Now then the Mishnah said, another corollary of this halacha, when if the woman made an error and ended up marrying someone else thinking she's allowed to, but it turns out that she had made a mistake, she should have checked into it, and she wasn't allowed to, so then you have all that fallout, like we said, which was a case of not necessarily from a man which she was married to another one, but from a man that she had a zika of yibim to, and she thought she didn't, and she ended up marrying a different man, called a yevama l'shuk. So the Mishnah said, kala raya amr v'chulu, regarding all the arayis that we said, that usually their tzaris, their co-wives, since their tzaris erva are free to go ahead and marry another person, because there's no yibim chalitza when they're the tzar of an erva, but it turns out that the erva actually was not married to the first husband, because it turns out she was really in idleness. Turns out that Tzara Sa'erva, who she thought she was a Tzara Sa'erva, who married someone else, was not allowed to, because she still had a Zika. So then we said, again, because of that mistake, Teitzim Ezeh Mezeh, B'chol Adrachim Ha'eluba. Now, the Gemara makes the following diuk. It sounds like from the Mishnah, that Nisu'in, only if the Tzara Sa'erva went, thinking she doesn't have a Zika, because she's a Tzara Sa'erva, that she got married to another man, but Zinu Loi. But if she just had an act of Znus, an act of cohabitation with another man, not in the form of marriage, then she wouldn't be forbidden now to go ahead and do yibum to the yavam. The reason being is because getting married to someone else is more stringent. Why is that more stringent to create problems to be able to go ahead and do yibum with the yavam? The reason being is because we're concerned that people are going to say, this woman obviously had chalitza from her, meaning if she gets married to someone else, that people are going to say she obviously had chalitza from the yavam, and that's why she got married to this other person. Now she got divorced from, this is what people are going to say, now she got divorced from that man that she had gotten married to, and now she's going back and getting married to the man who had given her chalitza, which that's a problem because that's violating the negative prohibition of lo yibana, which is once the yavam does chalitza, he can't go back and marry her. So that seemingly is what the Mishnah is saying, that it's only if she got married to someone else, but it turns out she really wasn't allowed to, that then she wouldn't be able to go ahead and get married to the Yavam, because like we said in the Mishnah, Teitzim Ezeh Mezeh, because when you marry someone else, then people are going to start saying that, oh, you're leaving him, are you going back to the Yavam? What? But how can you violate Lo Yibana? There's no such a problem. That's going to create problems. But Znus, if she was just Mizana, that, okay, so we know she was just Mizana, but that doesn't make her forbidden to go ahead and do Yibam to the Yavam. That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. That's why it picks a case of when the Tzaras Erva had gone and married someone else. So the Gemara says, let's say this refutes then what was said by Rav Amnuna. Because the Amr of Amnuna, he said that Shemeres Yavim Shezinza, even just a woman that's waiting for Yibam, and in the interim she goes and she's Mizana with another man, Asruli Yavama, that she's then forbidden to her Yavam. Similarly from our Mishnah, that's refuted because the Mishnah picks specifically when she marries someone else, then she can't go ahead and do Yibam with the Yavam. But similarly, if she just has nus with another man, then she could, not like Rav Amnuna. So the Gemara says, no, it's actually nisu b'hu adin lezinoi. The same halacha would apply not only if she married someone else, but even if she was mezana with someone else. Now, b'haydik tani nisu, this that the Mishnah spoke about a case where the Tzaras Erva married someone else, was lishna ma'al yanakad. When we picked a case to describe this halacha, where a woman cohabited with another man, we picked a more appropriate type of terminology, where she married someone else. But really, it's not only in the context of marriage, it's even in the context of just having an act of cohabitation as as a way of iznus. It's just we picked the higher road of describing it, but it would apply even in that way, like Rav Nuna said, and the act of iznus would invalidate her from having yibum with her yavam. Now, the Igud Amri, those that say the previous discussion, actually in the reverse. that the Gemara had initially said, when our Mishnah says that Nisu, that this Tzaras Erva, again, thinking she was a Tzaras Erva, married someone else, the same thing would apply. That doesn't just mean marriage, it's just Lishnam Aliyanakr, even if she was Mizana with someone else. So the Gemara wanted to say, Lema Misayel, Rav Amnuna. Let's say this supports the opinion of Rav Amnuna. The Amr Rav Amnuna, the Rav Amnuna said, that a woman anticipating Yibam, if in the interim she's Mizana with another man, she's forbidden to her Yavam. Similarly, that's supported from the Allah of our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Loi. It's nisu dafka. It's specifically, if she got married to another man, then she's forbidden to yavam. Now, why would that be? Why would marriage create more of a problem than, because she's not really allowed to get married. She's a yavam alashuk. She really has a zikaban. So she's really forbidden to marry that man. You can't really get married. So what's the difference if she got married to him or she had znus with him? Why would there be a difference that only by marriage is she forbidden to the yavam? Meaning if you're saying that it's not like Rav Amnuna. So that the Gemara says, because we could say it's only by Nisu, Mishum Nimichlafa Be'isha Shahalach Baila Medin Zayam, because this could be the same mix up like we have by a woman that her husband went overseas, where the woman's husband went overseas, and now people came and told her that your husband died. Now, so she went and got married to someone else, where the halacha is that if it turns out that he's really alive, that she's not allowed to go ahead and go back to him. Now, although it's what's called an oinus, it was something that was beyond her control, she didn't willingly have znus as a married woman with someone else, which she really was, and generally an oinus is permitted to go back to her original husband. Let's say if a man is ma'anasar, the reason being why we don't permit her to go back to her original husband is because we're concerned that people might say that, well, obviously her first husband had divorced her. That's why we know she had married another man. Now, when the first husband comes back, and we see her leaving this second husband, going back to her first husband, people are going to say that, oh, must be that she got divorced from the first husband. Then the second man divorced her, and now she's going back to the one who had divorced her, which is actually forbidden because that's considered a machzik rishasa. You're not allowed to remarry the woman that you divorced if she married someone else in the interim. So that's a problem. So therefore we say that in that case, which could look like machzik rishasa mishanissus, you can't go back to the original husband. So says the Gemara, you could say that the same thing would apply in the case of our Mishnah, specifically when she went and married someone else. Because people are going to say, wait, how is she marrying this guy? Doesn't she have to do Yibam Chalitza with the Yavam? Oh, people are going to say that, oh, must be that the Yavam had done Chalitza to her. And then she went and married this other guy. Now, when they see her leaving that guy and going back to the Yavam, people are going to say, wait a second, that's a violation of Le'yibana. Because we know she did Chalitza, because how'd she marry that guy? And you're not allowed to remarry the woman that you did Chalitza to. So because people are going to think that that's what happened, so he said that she can't go back to, even though it's nus itself, having be with another man does not make a problem, but nisu would, because that would be where people would make that mistake. But by nus, where it doesn't make such type of a rumor, in other words, people know that what she's doing is just an act of pretzis, they're not going to be concerned that, oh, maybe she must mean that she had chalitz of him. No, we just know this woman is acting inappropriately, and therefore, if we don't hold like Rav Nuna, which we could interpret the Mishnah, nisu dafka, could be if she was just mezana, she would be able to go ahead and have yibam with her yavam, because again, no one's going to say that she had chalitz already and that he's being doing yibum, marrying his chalitza, which is forbidden in the lo yibana, they'll say that no, he never did chalitza, and she was just mezana, and therefore he could still go ahead and do yibum. Now, so too, as we alluded to in the Mishnah, the Mishnah brought another case of akainis as yivimta, very similar type of a case, where if a man is married to five women, let's say, and he dies without any children, so the yavam, one of his brothers, has to only do yibum to one of the women. So if he does yibum to one of the women, like we said, akainis is yivimta, he goes ahead and he marries one of the women. So the other ones, the tzaris, the co-wives, can marry other men now. They're free to go. But, said the Mishnah, if it turns out that the woman that he had done yibum to, turns out she was in illness, turns out she was never really married to his late brother, turns out that the tzaris, the co-wives, are still having zika because the one that he did yibum to really was never any one of the wives. So the Mishnah said that because of that mistake that they made, it's going to cost them. Is there really were a Yavam al-Shuk, and therefore she's forbidden to the one that she married to and from the Yavam that she was supposed to get married to or do Chalitza to. Now, the Gemara says to Tzricha, we needed both cases, which seemingly have the same idea, where either the Tzara thought she can go free because she's the Tzara of an Erva, or she thought she can go free because the Yavam had done Yibam to one of the wives. Again, in both cases, but it turned out that what she thought was she was a Tara of the Erva was actually the Erva was never married because she was an Alanis. And this case too, the one that had done Yibam with was also an Alanis. So again, it turns out retroactively it was her mistake. So why do you have to say both of these cases? The Gemara says you needed. The Yashminim Bahach Kamaisa had we only said the first case when she thought she was a Taurus Erva, that she has to be Tzeitzim Izeh Mizeh Mishum Deloy Kaim, Mitzvah Zibum. Because there, the Mitzvah of Yibum was never fulfilled. In other words, in the case of a Taurus Erva, because one of the wives was an Erva, so the co-wife goes and marries some other man. Now, therefore, when it's retroactively revealed that she was not a Taurus Erva, we're going to penalize her, that Tzeitzim Izeh Mizeh, because she didn't wait, because... And we're going to make her forbidden to the Yavam. The reason being is because the mitzvah of Yibum was never fulfilled. She should have made sure, look, no one's going to be doing Yibum now because we think that this woman is an Erva and we're all tzaras of her. You know, there is never anyone fulfilling the mitzvah of Yibum, so we should make sure that we're really doing the right thing. Aval hacha, but in this case, that of the Seifa, the Ikayim mitzvah Yibum, where when this woman went to marry someone else, she was going to marry someone else because she was under the assumption that one of the other co-wives already had done Yibum. So we know it's taken care of. Emaloi, so there I would have thought to say that she should not have had to wait and to make sure that everything was okay, because in the first case, make sure, because no one's doing anything, because we think we're Taurus Erva, make sure that Erva's really a valid wife. But in this case, where she saw everything was taken care of, a woman went and did Yibum. So maybe there we wouldn't penalize her. That's why I have to say the case of the Seifa too. Now, v'yesh min hacha, had we only said this case, that of the Seifa, mishum de korami kameh. Because there, both of the women, they fall for Yibim in front of the Yavim at the same time. Now, when one of them is taken in Yibim before she proves that she is a valid wife, meaning before she has two pubic hairs, because actually an islandess doesn't have the simonim of a gedayla, so there we would have complaints. We would penalize the co-wife that she should have waited. She should have made sure that the yibum of her co-wife is valid, because since she was also zakuk for yibum, so she has to make sure if she's leaving this zika, this bond which she already has in yibum, she has to make sure that the other one was a definite one to take care of hers. Aval hasam, I would have thought to say in the first case, that of when she was a taurus erva, where from the beginning she never thought that she was falling for yibum, because she thought the loy rami kameh. She thought she's not falling for yibum because she knew she was a tzaras of erva. She knew that the brother who is going to be the yavam is one of her co-wife's father. So she knew she's never going to have a zika. There maybe we would have thought to say that she should never have had to entertain and to wait and to make sure that maybe the erva is going to be an islandess, because she knew that it's out of it's not even in the picture. We know we're not falling for yibum. Therefore we would have thought to say that she would not have entertained, and therefore Emaloi, we would have said that we don't penalize her from being able to go ahead and do Yibum and from taking her Kesuba because she was a situation of Oinus. That's Kamash Milan. That's what the case of the Reish is teaching us, that even in such a case, we're going to penalize her, and that's why Tzricha. That's why I have to say this case in both, because from one, we would not have known the other. We would have thought that in one, you would entertain, and she should have entertained, and she didn't, so it is her fault, and she's not a full-fledged Oinus, and that's why we penalize, but the other one not, and we could have said that either way. That's why we need to have both cases. And the Mishnah then continued with another case, which also has the same consequential effect, where Kasavas Seif Vatah, if the scribe wrote for both the man and the woman different documents, and he made a mistake. Nasan get le'isha, he ended up giving the get to the woman to give to the husband. V'shever v'chulu, and the shever by mistake he gave to the man to give to the woman. So the Tanakhama said, not a get, and no matter when this is found out, turns out the Tetzim is Emezeh, all our children are mamzerim, and so on, because she was really never divorced. Whereas Rabbi Lazaim, he said that no, it depends. Said imla alta yatsa, if this is found out right after, so then yes, not going to be a get. But v'chulu, he says, but if it's found out at a later point in time, then we say that no, we say that what she got from the husband was a get, and again that maybe they switched it at a later point in time, and they're not believed from the first husband to make this claim to remove from the zchuyas, from the merits of the second husband that she's married to say that, oh, you were never allowed to get married to him and you got to leave. Now the Gemara asks, hecha dame la'alter, what does it mean that when we said if it's found out immediately according to Rabbi Elazar that it's not going to be a get? Hecha dame la'achas man, and what does it mean that if it was found out at a later point in time that we will consider what she got from her husband to be a valid get and she could remain married to her second husband? So the first opinion says, Amar Yehuda Mishmol, he says, kol zman sheyoshvin va'asukin bo'esi inyan, as long as they're sitting and they're still discussing this topic, meaning the topic, the words of her divorce, this just happened, ze'ola alta, that's what it means immediately. But if amdu, if they really got up from the proceedings of the man giving the get to his wife, ze'ola achasman, if after that point they find the husband holding the get and the woman the shaver, which is the wrong hands that she's supposed to be in, then we consider it at a later point in time, and we don't believe the first husband to say that she was never divorced. Now, Rav Ad Bar Hava says a different interpretation. He says, Loi nisses, if she didn't yet get married to another man, Zeula Alta. That's what's considered immediately, that it's not going to be a get, and she's not divorced. But nisses, Zeula Achazman. If she already got married to another man, that's considered at a later point in time, and that's where we say that the first does not believe to remove from the schlius of the second man. So the Gemara actually uses this as a question on the first interpretation of Shmuel. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah that we said, what's the reasoning of Rabbi Elazar that we don't believe if it's at a later point in time, the first husband? Because we said, loy kolimenu min erishin, we don't believe he has no rights, the first husband, la'abit z'chus eshal sheini, to remove the rights that the second husband has in his wife for the first husband to claim. Oh, wait a second, look, I'm holding the get. Must be that it was switched up and the woman never got her get. She gave me the get and I gave her the shaver. So that's what the Mishnah said, that we don't believe him. So the Gemara says, Bishlim le Rav Ad Bar Hava, according to the second interpretation of Rav Ad Bar Hava, Hainu Diktani Sheini. That's what Rav Elazar says when he means to say that the first guy cannot remove from the rights of the second guy, because he explains what is the case of La'achar Zman, is that she already got married. El Shmuel, my Sheini. But according to Shmuel, where he says La'achar Zman, that we don't believe anymore the first husband, and we're going to say it's a get, is as soon as they get up from the proceedings, but she's not even married to someone else. So who is this second guy that he's explaining that we don't believe the first husband to remove from the rights of the second guy? So now the Gemara answers on the top of Pe'alf and Alf, you're right. She's not married yet to a second guy. But there's still, we don't believe the first guy to remove from the schus haru'uya l'sheni, from the rights which is fit for a second guy. In other words, from the moment where they remove themselves from the proceedings, from the witnesses, who we assume, after we leave the proceedings, that this woman is divorced, because we saw the document switching hands. So at that point in time, any second man, whoever he is, wherever he is, has rights to marry this woman. From that point on, this first husband, although she never yet got married to a second guy, has no rights to remove that rights of the second man, because we have a chazak already that she's mugureshes. For him to want to say that he never gave her the get and she gave him the get, He loses those, that nemanis, that belief, once the proceedings are over. It's only when it's still handling, when it's still going on, he says, look, I have the ruined document, then we'll believe him. From that point on, even according to the interpretation of Shmuel, even though she's not married to someone else, the second guy, whoever he is, has rights in her, and now the first one's not believed anymore, which is what's called la'achas man, after they get up in the proceedings of the husband giving the get to the woman.